Welcome to the Vassals of Kingsgrave, an offshoot of the podcast of Ice and Fire. This is the third podcast in our series rewatch of the reimagined Battlestar Galactica. I'm your CAG, Drew, callsign Borgasm on the forums. Today's discussion will contain spoilers for everything up to Season 1, Episode 6 of the series, as well as potential spoilers for all works of George R.R. Martin's A Song of Ice and Fire. Later on, we may possibly airlock our Unsullied show watcher to make the jump to spoiler-occupied space. Today, joining me are...
Hi, this is callsign Shushanard, being in real life.
This is Jeff, callsign Jeff14 on the forums.
Hi, this is Thomas. I'm callsign FT Ward on the forums.
Now, how did you get the series, Thomas?
Well, I guess I'm very old, so I watched the original series in the 70s. Had quite a few of the toys. They were pretty awesome. Had a Viper. Had a Raider. They shot these hard plastic, orange, chokeable, put your eye out kind of little rockets. They were super awesome. So I watched the show in the 70s, and then in the 80s, when I think it came back for a season or something like that. I don't really remember. I guess in the 80s, I don't know if anyone's familiar with Robotech.
Yes.
I think it's the first season especially is very Battlestar Galactica. Kind of civilians, military on this giant space defense fortress, kind of fighting off aliens in like a soap opera. So I loved that in the 80s. And then when the series came back on, I watched the miniseries. But for whatever reason, when the series came back, whatever, I don't know how long ago or how long after the miniseries. But for whatever reason, I didn't see it right away. And even though I had friends that were telling me it was very good, I never watched it. Just because I felt like once I had missed out on the beginning, I kind of missed out on kind of the fun of all the hype of it at the beginning. So I did not watch the series until I watched it on Netflix maybe 3 or 4 years ago. And I've only watched it through once, except for the miniseries, which I've seen, a few times now. I guess my favorite character, and it's really two characters, which are at least at the beginning of the series kind of inseparable for me, are Gaius and Six. And I just love their relationship, and I just love them both. I think they're awesome together, especially. And then my least favorite character is President Roslyn. And I think she's kind of an awful human being and kind of the worst.
Like Gaius isn't?
Yeah, Gaius is awesome.
Okay.
I find it strange that people blame Gaius, quote unquote, for it's. To me, it's not quite the same because I think Adam is Moses, but you don't blame Moses for the plagues. You don't blame Noah for the flood. He's just a tool of kind of God's plan. And I know you guys don't like, you would prefer it to be secular, but I don't think that's what Battlestar Galactica is.
Well,
he's
like the guy who inadvertently let the wolf into the hen house, you know, basically. I mean, he didn't know he was doing it when he did it, but I mean, he's still committed treason. Regardless of whether it was a Cylon that got into the system or whatever,
I don't think it's treason. Like David Petraeus didn't commit treason, right? When he gave his girlfriend classified information, it's
still pretty bad.
No, I didn't say it isn't bad. I just think he is not guilty of treason. His mind is not committing treason, so therefore he is not committing treason. It's just, this has happened before and it will happen again. He is just a tool no matter what. If he didn't do it, someone else would have done it. So I don't think his crime is treason. I think he comes off to me very well, even early on. I think he's trying to walk a path where he is kind of this atheist who comes to believe himself to be kind of a messiah figure. Ultimately, that's why I said he's kind of like Stannis for me. He's got his red woman, and yeah. She's kind of guiding him on this path where he doesn't quite believe that. But somewhere along the way, he kind of thinks he's more than in the plan than he is. And I just find their relationship and him super interesting. When that lottery goes on, I think he's going to let that woman get on the plane, or on the raptor, I guess, and he's not going to get on until Hilo calls him out. I don't think he's going to steal her number. I just don't see how you can see that scene that way, that he's going to take her number and leave Caprica.
I think he was definitely thinking about it. He couldn't bring himself to do it. And I'm not sure. I'm not sure if that's out of any altruism. It's more shame than anything else.
So he just caused the extinction of mankind. Like,
but God caused the extinction. You know what I'm saying? He didn't cause the extinction of it. The extinction of mankind was going to happen.
His hubris caused the extinction of mankind. The fact that he was willing to give somebody else access to the defensive mainframe and then take complete credit for it and completely discredit the idea that she could have nefarious intentions.
He thought she had commercial intentions, so he knew they were nefarious. He just did not think that they were dangerous.
Yeah.
She's good at what she does. You know, she improved the system and using her intelligence and the Cylon intelligence. So he had no reason, in my opinion, to believe that she was doing anything more than trying to make money for her company.
Just because the spy is a good person, that doesn't make it any less treason.
But I think hot. It does. It's one thing to... it's not treason if it's for commercial... not his own, even commercial.
I think as the show goes on, people's opinion of Gaius changes a lot. So I think it's very different from just watching these few episodes. The Gaius from just these few episodes from having the foresight of what Gaius will become in the next four seasons.
Yeah, you're reflecting on Gaius as a whole. Have you seen him, knowing that you've seen his whole story arc, and you know, Jeff just has this small window where he's seen him do very little, but serve himself. So it's
just trying to walk. And you guys talked about how he left Adama the notes about the Cylons models and stuff. I think he's trying to walk the line where he's not going to do harm. At least I don't. He's actively.
I don't think anybody is actively malicious, right?
Right. I think it's fair to say that if I was in the same position, I would be scared shitless, and I would probably be doing the exact same thing Gaius is doing. So I should at least kind of cut him some credit for that, cut him a little bit of slack. Don't get me wrong, I find him extremely interesting.
The performance of the actor and the way the characters are in it is very endearing. Yes. Over and above what he does in the plot. That undoubtedly that affects my opinion of him as well.
Yeah, he's definitely the most fun character.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll agree with that.
His scenes are all so much fun. Greg said he hates Hilo, which very much surprised me.
He is kind of milquetoast. That's
yeah,
his own
exactly.
Problem. I don't have any feelings towards Hilo whatsoever.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, he seems just like a decent guy, yeah.
I just kind of hate that whole plot line in general so far. Like, yeah, I always, like, roll my eyes when it cuts away because I want to, like, go back to what's happening on the Galactica or on the trial or something.
Yeah, I very much remember the first time I watched the 33. I was very surprised that they went back to Hilo and Cal. Like, that was, for me, completely unexpected. I thought he was out of the show.
Well, the showrunners thought he was out of the show, but added him back in because I guess they really liked his performance.
This is kind of jumping ahead, but like all I can get from like that whole plot line is it's just the Cylons just fucking with him. Like that's all I can.
We'll get somewhere. That gets somewhere, which you're not wrong. What you just said.
Yeah, I mean, Hilo is just, I don't know. He's kind of the dumb jock, but he's like the everyman. And so I am surprised when people don't they're not on Team Hilo.
Yeah, I can see not liking him, but I can't see disliking him.
I mean, I like him more than I like Apollo. That's not saying much, but...
Yeah, I have a special place in my
heart. Yeah, I guess I'll do active contrition. So it's Flat Top's 1,000th deck landing, so everyone on Galactica is celebrating this milestone for him. Basically, everyone is on the hangar deck, and they're spinning around in cart, and basically one of the drones comes loose, and it explodes everyone. So, yeah. That's how Battlestar Galactica goes whenever anyone gets happy. They put a quick end to it. As the surviving pilots prepare for the services for the dead, Kara has flashbacks to the first time that she met William Adama, and which was right after the death of Zach. During the memorial service itself, Lee and Bill all have flashbacks to Zach's funeral. And in Kara's case, she remembers telling him that he was qualified as a Viper pilot. Following the service, Commander Adama asks Thrace to oversee the training of any new pilots in the fleet. Kara doesn't want to do it because she, you know, is carrying the guilt from passing Zach when she shouldn't have and letting her feelings get in the way of her doing her job. Eventually, Adama convinces her that's what she's going to do. Eventually, there's also a card game taking place where Crashdown goes and mentions the Cylon detector that Gaius is working on, and so that's how Boomer finds out about that. Elsewhere on Galactica, Laura's being examined by the world's best doctor, Doc Cuddle, and he does not care if it is a smoking room, and she wants to basically do Kamala extract as an alternative medicine, which is, he doesn't think highly of that. Later, Kara meets her first recruits. Basically, they don't have a flight simulator, so they get thrown right out into flying for real. And they don't do well on their first flight, no big surprise, and so then she flushes them out because she doesn't want to take any risks with anything. Lee then confronts her about it and realizes it's more about Zach than anything else, and so then he goes to his dad, and then he lets the cat out of the bag that, that Kara basically did something for Zach. So then he confronts Starbuck on the issue, and he basically, gets the truth out of her, and tells her basically that, get out of this room while you still can. She then has to actually do her job and train the pilots. So she has a handful of them, and they go out on their first, little exercise, and then Cylon Raiders appear, and they all head back toward the ship, and then Starbuck alone decides to take on all eight. Hot Dog remembers the one lesson that he's learned so far, which is never... basically to never leave your buddy, so he comes out and helps her. In the dogfight, Starbuck takes care of most of the raiders. Both Hot Dog and Kara's Vipers are damaged in the process, and she ends up being caught in the gravity well of a moon and ends up crash landing there. And then we also have on Caprica, we have Hilo and Sharon are tracking the source of a signal, and they basically find a fallout shelter full of water, food, blankets, meds, and everything they need. Then you see Six window shopping. Bina has a couple notes on here, and she says that watching the pre-credit scene made her dizzy. Lee is a shitty motivational speaker and an inappropriate cag in so many ways. Zach Adama looks like Varley. She says that it's amazing that Galactica hasn't run out of flags, but I have something to add on that one. Usually in the military, whenever you are deployed anywhere or anything, like one of the things that you turn in with your, when you, go somewhere, is your flag that goes over your, go over your coffin. So basically there is a flag for every officer on board Galactica there. So that's why they haven't run out of flags, because everyone has one. Slightly grim thought, but yeah. She also says, Doc Cottle, coolest man alive. And in general, she thought there was too much time spent on backstory. But she gives it a 2 out of 5 on lemon cakes, and I give it a 3 out of 5. How about you guys?
I find it a 3.5. Because this is, I think, the first episode of the series that goes heavy into flashbacks, which can be a little bit jarring when we first encounter it, but the show does it a lot afterwards. It's something that they,
yeah.
So I'm kind of used to it, and I think it's interesting. And it's important to be addressed. Some of the issues in here, this especially the core relationship between Starbuck and the Adamas. So yeah, and Hot Dog is a jerk, and a stupid asshole. But yeah,
no, I pretty much agree with everything that was just said. This is like, doesn't this episode actually start with a flashback of Kara?
Actually, it's a flash forward.
Or flash forward, yeah. Which is something the show does, like,
yes.
In my opinion, too much. Starts its episodes with flash forwards. But other, I would give it something like a 3.5 or something. Like was said, I think the Zach issue has to be addressed somewhere early here in the series. Is it maybe perfectly handled or a little clunky at times? Probably. But I think it's something that you have to get out of the way. I think all the characters involved are carrying so much guilt and so much kind of psychic scars from it that it's something that if you don't address it, you know, the relationships can't really move forward later in the series. So, and I thought that, like, the first scene is pretty good, like, on no budget, kind of how they built suspense and kind of handled the accident and everything. So I think it's a fine episode, but not really outstanding.
I would agree with Bing and go with a 2.5. I liked how they built up. I liked the scene with Starbuck and Adama. That was really good acting. I got really confused with the flash forward because it was just a random cut. But in general, just to highlight how shitty I think the next episode is, I have to give it a 2.5 because I abhorred You Can't Go Home Again. Really? So
you're going to want like a bonus lemon cake for Doc Cottle first appearance or no?
So
3. I'll give him a half of lemon cake.
That's fair.
Yeah. Cottle's pretty cool.
And then I'll give him another half for like laying it down on Rosalind and talking like how she's kind of fucked and probably should tell somebody, but no, that wouldn't work at all. That would be way too smart.
Yeah, you might want to like get like a line of succession together at some point if you're not a selfish person, but you know, that's just me.
So you give it 3 Caprican lights?
Sure.
Or menthol.
Kamala extract or whatever that is.
There's cigars that somehow there's so many of them and then they just randomly run out every episode.
It's a black... a black market. No, all about that black market in next season.
Is it next season?
They have a really healthy supply of alcohol, too, I must say. Alcohol and cigars.
Yep. Well, aren't there a few, like cruise liners, basically?
Yep.
I would think they would have, like, stores and stuff in them that would, you know, luxury supplies. I mean, not an infinite amount, obviously, but...
Cloud9 probably has.
I mean, smoking in space just sounds like a great idea. Nothing like that oxygen mix lighting a fire.
Well, you know, Tillium could be very, very stable. We have no idea.
And then they're going to start making their own alcohol and stuff, too, we're going to see, right? So
yeah, we saw that.
Yep.
So, going for the top, and this, I'll admit, is a little meta. Did anybody think it was kind of bullshit that the drone decided to, like, ignite by dropping them before 3 feet? Like, I would kind of hope that, like, when you're designing the rockets, they wouldn't be that volatile when you're performing, like, maneuvers in space.
The defense for that would be that Galactica is a really shitty ship and old and doesn't have...
Right, with a crew, who was on the ship that was, you know, basically everyone that was left on it was, like, probably people that weren't good enough to transfer to other ships and continue their careers, so, yeah.
So that's Chief Tyrell's fault? Can we agree to that?
That's probably Chief's fault.
That 13 of their like 48 pilots or whatever it is were killed.
Yeah, yeah, he's, yeah. I've never had a death. Never had a. Well, you're gonna have a lot.
Well, that's a lie because his hangar bay like caught on fire the first episode.
Oh yeah, yeah, but that's true.
That wasn't his
fault. Well, no. He blamed that on Colonel Ty, but he would have rather just, you know.
No. Lose the whole ship.
I can't stand the Chief.
Yeah, I can't either. Eventually, at some point, he comes bearable, but for the most of the series, there's a little hump in the middle where he's okay.
Yeah, and then he goes right back to stupid.
Yep, for sure.
Thinking with his lower head.
Yeah.
We'll get there. The show has a lot of this, like, this random character names I don't even know. What's his name? The guy who died, Flat Top.
Yeah, Flat Top? Well, yeah, it should just be Streak.
Yeah.
He'd be Cinder or Ashes or, yeah, or, you know, Barbecue. T-Bone.
T-Bone. Like, how many landings are we supposed to assume that Apollo and Starbuck have then? Like, they make 1,000 like a big deal, so...
Tens of thousands, I'm sure. I mean, okay. I'm sure they've logged tons of hours of flight.
So, like, that's the first milestone. It's not, like, your top on, like... Because that makes him sound like he's an experienced pilot.
He's not a rook anymore.
He's a more experienced pilot, hot dog and cat.
Yeah.
Yeah, do you think it's weird that they're doing, like, combat landings, right, like, on their first day? That seems
Especially like they're willing to risk
exactly
all 8 of their Vipers.
I feel like they put one Viper aside and just have them train
on one
on that on this.
You have the one fucked up one where you're like, okay, that's the Rook one, but the thing, they have a surplus of Vipers. It's pilots that they need, you know, at this point because they
That surplus has to be like spare parts and stuff. Yeah. You know, it's not.
Oh yeah, yeah. No, they're not thinking long term. Like, oh, there is no Viper factory out here. Like, yeah, we're not gonna just stop and get. You know, yeah.
I'll let them let that pass for now. But starting from next episode on, no, not at all. They are Viper light.
Well, they don't have that nice shiny fresh off the showroom floor look after next episode.
So you're about to say off the assembly line, I'm like, well, that was like 40 years ago.
they were like freshly restored, like, you know, classic cars before, like, now it's
so do we know how many of each like mark model they have of like how many new Vipers, how many old Vipers and all that, or is that never really,
well, aren't there new Vipers considered worthless since the Cylons can just turn them off?
I thought people fly new Vipers still. Am I wrong about that?
There's going to be new Vipers built
okay
in the future episodes, but that's further along. But I don't know. I don't think they ever said. The Battlestar Wiki must actually say it. But I don't know if it's relevant. But yeah, at that point, they have like 40 something Vipers. They said
43,
right?
So those are all old ones then that we're talking about.
Yeah.
So
okay.
Yeah, no idea how many Raptors they.
Oh yeah, that always confused me. Like I thought they had one Raptor.
And not that pathetic.
No, they've got like a half dozen of those.
Yeah, because when they're looking for water, isn't there like you said, maybe a half dozen different groups going on?
Yeah, there's like Racetrack and who else is out there? I think I thought we met Racetrack when they were looking for water.
I don't know who the fuck that is.
No, yeah, she's not named yet, but there's a duo of
Racetrack and Skull.
Yeah,
but yeah, you don't have to worry about them yet. They're not relevant right now.
I don't think you have to worry about them ever, really.
They are surprisingly relevant towards the end.
Yeah, but
right now, don't worry about it. There's a lot of random, because it's weird, because there's a lot of characters that have names at this point that you think would be important going forward. But then they just disappear completely.
It's like a Song of Ice and Fire.
Yeah.
You're just going to get people, and then eventually they'll either be important or they won't. And you kind of just, hopefully, when they come back, you'll recognize them.
So one last meta point, like Thomas kind of alluded to with the whole like Chief Tyrell thing. Like, how is it that nobody is held accountable for this? Even if it's an accident, somebody should be in trouble and like, yeah, they don't have anybody else to replace. But like, there's no repercussions, it seems like.
Well, I would just blame it on someone that was on the deck and just be done with it.
Well, Adama has a soft touch, right? That's what he's going to say. When it's his people, he's not going to hold them. His expectation is that they're going to hold themselves accountable, I think, right? That's his leadership style.
Yeah. Yeah, they're beating themselves up enough over it, you know.
There's really nothing to be gained by...
Right. It's obviously an accident.
Yeah.
Compared to what happens.
Yep. Yeah, compared to like the water
and
sabotage where no one is held accountable and it's not an accident.
Right.
But
and what happens 2 episodes later.
Yeah. Yeah. The people of Galactica just can't win.
Yeah, I don't have much to say about the Zach stuff. It's pretty straightforward.
Well, I guess the next point then would be either the playing cards, which you see Gaius is really good at cards, and I think that's the only point there is.
Yeah, and Kara's great at cards, but she's distracted, so that's why she's just out of it. But I think the important beat with the card game is that Boomer realizes that there's a Cylon test, you know, that is being worked on.
Oh, I thought it was the Starbuck Gaius foreplay that's going
to
go on.
Yeah, I think
so.
That's what
like
I
it.
Think, too, is the most important thing that comes out of it.
Time for Thomas to go off on Rosalind.
Well, Adama's the worst here, right? I mean, there's not really a question in my mind who's... behaves worse in this episode, but
Ross and
not in this episode, next episode.
Yeah, in the next, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah, I can't come home again.
Oh, I was going to say with the whole, like, doctor.
Oh, you know, I don't want to kick anyone that has cancer, but, but I mean, she has certain responsibilities, which she does not seem to give a crap about, in my opinion.
She's so horrible, even her breasts are trying to kill her.
Yeah, I'm not going to co-sign that.
Not sure about that one.
Sorry.
There goes a star.
Shame. Anyways. Yeah, the Kamala extract. Yeah, homeopathic medicine. Eh, I mean...
No, it's ayahuasca. She's tripping.
So it would be like LSD, or would it be more like weed?
You'll see.
Or like both.
You'll see.
I'm so excited now.
In many ways, Battlestar Galactica is analogous to present-day USA or Canada, right? But they are following different religion, different medical practices. So it is conceivable that a doctor like Kato, who maybe he doesn't believe in that stuff, we still keep a lot of that around because maybe in their world, homeopathy is more accepted.
Well, don't they have to call out to the fleet? I don't think he has any, right? But he's
okay. He doesn't have any, but like the medical stores.
Yeah,
the medical stores just have it.
But like, Why would the fleet be willing to give up their supply? Like, they don't know it's the president. Like, why would they care?
Each ship probably has already submitted an inventory when Galactica took them on, like, so that way no one's hoarding any supplies or anything like that. And if they want to get, if they want to be able to receive supplies, they need to be able to give them up as well. So it makes sense that they would have done an inventory and an accounting that way.
Yeah, but there's already going to be a black market, so I'm going to assume people are going to steal that
supplies
shit.
In the fleet.
So we need the nuggets.
Oh, hot dog.
In Thrace. I mean, Starbucks sounds like a badass. Oh, that was a great scene.
Yep. Cat? Any feelings about Cat?
I hate her. She's got this attitude and everything, and then it turns out that, like, she's... I just don't like her at all. And,
I mean...
Yeah.
And the ironic thing, like, in the perfect world, Starbucks' attitude towards the recruits is right. But, like, obviously in this situation, like, you can't do that because you don't have a next round of recruits. But they were all terrible.
Well, that's like literally taking you and putting it, be like, okay, now we're going to put you in a F-18 Hornet and you try and land this on a carrier deck because we don't have a flight simulator and you might die, but I'm going to yell at you when you fuck it up.
Right. But I shouldn't be flying in F-18 Hornet. It's the bottom line is these shouldn't be people that should be flying these aircraft.
They're all commercial pilots or have some training, right? So I think it's a tough situation, obviously, but
I mean, like, if the ratio to Vipers to pilots go from 1,000 to 1 to 1,101, really make that big of a difference? I mean, they're already able to fight off 2 star bases with 10,000 pilots against 50, so obviously they're hot shit. But
well, I mean, if Starbucks any indication, yeah, 1 versus 8, and
1.5, 1.25.
Okay, yeah.
Hot dog doesn't count. Hot dog is a liability.
Yeah, he does help her a slight bit, but it's a shit show. It's basically I mean, Galactica is a shit show.
Yeah.
I don't even remember the third guy when I saw him again.
The Asian guy. I don't remember. I don't know his name either.
Apparently his call sign is Chuckles.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I know what happens with Chuckles. Yeah.
Oh, you do now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
The rest of this episode is mostly just guilt trip. Yeah. One guilt trip after another.
Stuff is pretty forgettable.
Yeah. Can I just say how kind of like a dick move it was of Apollo not to give Starbuck like a heads up, like, oh, by the way, I kind of fucked up and let the cat out of the bag. FYI.
Doesn't he page Kara like immediately? I don't know. I mean, I don't disagree with you that he should give her a heads up that he said more than he should have. But
But also, relationship is, I want to bang my ex-fiance's my ex-brother's fiance, so I feel like all common protocol gets thrown out the window.
I think it's still his brother. I don't think it's an ex-brother, but...
Excuse me. Brother's ex-fiance.
I think her position is kind of the worst, though, because she's kind of deceived Adama. Mm-hmm. For I don't know how many years it's been, 3 or 5 years or how long it's been, but they've kind of built this relationship where she's his daughter and she's kind of concealed this from him, which is...
Well, that's what family does, right? They keep horrible shit from each other and cause turmoil in each other's lives.
I mean, he takes it pretty well.
Well, I think ultimately in the next episode he's going to realize that there's no point.
Right.
The whole...
They're all they have left. Okay, on Caprica, they make a remark about, you know, like, you know, someone went through all the trouble of putting this fallout shelter together, and where are they? The Silence obviously found them, killed them, and then set this up for Boomer to find,
well,
right?
Not just set it up, I think Sharon herself set this up, right?
I know how we're complaining about the cities, like, being still around. Do you think the Silence just rebuilt it really quickly?
No.
No. I think they're just really into recycling, so they're being environmentally responsible. Cause
not every city got destroyed.
Yeah, it's just a budget thing. I'm not going to beat them up over not having infinite amounts of money.
Mm-hmm. Well, you can't go home again. Next episode picks up pretty much exactly right after last episode. Starbuck is now missing, and then Adama orders entire fleet to search for a single pilot. First, it was, I think, of course, Gaius who suggests that maybe this is not a great idea to commit an entire fleet to do this, but at first, Roslyn was okay with it. On the moon, Starbuck finds this, found the raider that she took down right when her oxygen is about to go out. Meanwhile, on the ship, Gaeta suggests that she must be on the moon, and then Adama orders a level search for the moon service. And Gaeta says she has 46 hours left on her oxygen tank. While her oxygen is running out, Starbuck is doing weird shit inside the Cylon Raider. I don't know, messing around with its internal organs, which was disgusting. And in order to try to get herself to fly it. Meanwhile, the search continues, and all the Vipers are getting beaten up because of the sand winds blasting them. Eventually, Roslyn gets worried and says that this is going too far, and asks the search to be stopped. Especially when Adama and Lee are pulling the Cap Vipers away to help with the search. Lee and Adama insists on keep searching even after Starbuck's oxygen runs out. Intercept the raider. And eventually he found out Starbuck somehow wrote her name on the raider and decides that this is Starbuck, and they all come back happily ever after. On Caprica, some other shit happened. Cylons, they discover Hilo and Sharon and
Toasters helping toasters.
Yeah, that was pretty funny, right?
I'll summarize it. The Cylons fuck with Hilo.
Yeah, basically.
There we go. That's it.
And Sharon disappears.
Here, I'll go through Bina's notes. So, yeah. Let's see. She says, I completely do not understand how a raider is part organic. which, okay, on that point, I would say, like...
It's like how Cylons, all Cylons are part organic.
Well, the thing is, like, when it comes to making massively paralleled computer systems, well, that would be what a human brain is, and if a biological substrate is best for doing that, that's what the Cylons are going to develop. So I can, you know, forgive that you know they have organic components to them. Like it's not unheard of.
I don't understand why they have like levers and stuff though.
Yeah. Right.
Like, why would you? If it's just your brain, it would just send an impulse that would.
It would just
whatever. Why do they have like levers and?
And cords and stuff like that.
Why is that even necessary?
Yeah.
I don't know. Evolution. Weird shit happens, I guess.
I don't understand how, like, once the Cylon's exposed to the very inhospitable atmosphere that it can suddenly survive with its organs exposed, with a little air tube that gives some of its organs oxygen. And then how Kara is somehow able to make a sealed atmospheric chamber by putting her,
her jacket
there, and then be able to breathe without dying.
Well,
or how she can see.
For on her, because on her flight suit, those are a, I mean, that's a non-gas permeable barrier that they actually have. It's not pressurized, but that, you know, it is their, it will protect them in a vacuum environment. So if she wads that up and sticks that in the hole, in theory, it should, you know, just
it would go through the atmosphere.
Yeah, it would go through
somehow.
It would go right through that hole. When you have zero on the inside and 14.7 psi pound per foot, it would just shoot it right out.
Yeah. Right next to her yellow paint, she had some patch.
I think it was yellow duct tape.
Yeah, it was yellow
duct tape.
Well, that's
how
it at all.
Then,
duct tape.
She can see.
I think, like, she's got a little window right to where the Cylon eye looks out.
She seems to have a lot of time. That's the weird part. She seems to have a lot of time because by the time she's in the raider, her oxygen's almost out already. So when she get the time to tape her name,
I mean, she can, like, just, she just held that in her mouth the whole time, breathing in, and
then she couldn't talk.
Anyways, it's a scene that requires a lot of leaps of logic, which
she
whatever.
Can still off-fly Lee though, right? Even though she's.
Yeah, even though she's in a completely she's basically in a jungle gym trying to fly. Yeah. And,
well, I mean, she could, like, kill 8 raiders, and Lee could barely take on one when he was guarding that chip. So obviously,
and she's got a broken leg, so that's why she gets hit once, like grazed, Bailey, because Lee's not that great. So
yeah, Lee's not that great. Yeah, that part's fine.
I do like when she gets to the raider and she says, "Are you alive?" Which is kind of like that callback.
Oh yeah. Oh, at least she didn't make out with it.
She's approaching the raider with her gun. Sorry. And rather than approach from the side, she walks straight up right in front of its cannons.
Well, I think she would went in between them, actually. Like, it was, like, right in front of its face, but yeah, like, I don't think they can pan left and right to shoot that way. I think it's more, you know, because those are, like, located on the two points of the wing, right?
I'll concede.
I mean, of all the things that are wrong with this scene, it's just
yeah.
Whatever. It's fun.
It is fun.
Adama pulls a whole, like, full idiotic, stupid, lose all respect, even though he's still my favorite character, horror show. And then Lee has the audacity to ask him, "If it was me, you would have left already, right?"
I don't know. That particular part always, like, makes me well up a little bit. Like, I'm like, oh.
No, it makes,
like,
me well up.
He let everyone die because you know, but he loves them that much. He sacrificed all of mankind.
I don't know that anyone is more selfish than Gaius, right? I mean, everyone is as selfish as Gaius, right? Everyone is.
It takes until this episode to make that assertion, though.
Yeah.
Okay. But, yeah. I mean, I think we've seen Adama kind of give certain people preferential treatment.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's got a club.
I mean, kind of like how Hilo gave Gaius, right?
I mean, that's Hilo's call. I don't know. I mean, that's...
I saw you on TV.
Call.
You should live, because I'm stupid.
Yeah, I mean, he's more valuable on some level than Hilo is.
At least Hilo knows he's dumb.
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
Has Gaius actually done anything relatively productive to this point?
I think so. Like, in the show, or just pretty...
In the show.
Well,
yeah.
In the show.
Yeah. For the Cylon, he's done tons, but, yeah.
Well, he gets rid of... What's his...
He gets rid of Doro.
Yeah.
That was a complete bullshit guess.
Well, yeah, but he did it.
But again,
he did it.
He's an agent of God's will, right? So, you know.
Yeah. I like how Six wants to know if the carpet matches the drapes with Kara. It's not Gaius that wants to know that. It's Six.
Gaius said originally, I wonder if she's a natural. Blonde.
No, it's Six. She goes, "I wonder if she's a real blonde. Guess you'll never find out." Yeah.
Yeah, I love them together. They're the best.
Yeah, they are a fun couple.
I mean, Tig's the real badass of the show right now.
Yes.
He only has a drinking problem.
Recognize that Sawtai is the best character.
Tai is justified in relieving Adama of a command more than yeah. Adama is justified of relieving Tai his duties, honestly.
I like how Tai just, the way that he goes into the little toy soldier act to leave, and it just completely highlights to Bill how ridiculous he's being.
Yeah, he's shaming him there, I think.
Yeah. You know, and in a rare alliance between him and Rosalind, they do some good together.
Yeah, he doesn't like civilians.
Yeah. No. Yeah, he does not like civilians. Oh my god.
So, utter Bina comments?
Lemon cakes for the episode. Bina gives it a 3 out of 5. I give it a little bit more. I give it a 3.5 out of 5.
I liked it. I gave it 4 out of 5. I know it's completely ridiculous, a lot of things going on, but it was fun.
That's true. It was fun. I like the part where Kara's flying and she waves at Lee, like, at the very end, like, where they're, like, flying formation. I don't know. I thought that was a fun beat, but...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah, I think it's, like, a 3. I'm pretty comfortable with 3, sounds about right.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's a 1. Like, I just feel like the theme of the episode's, like, so dissonant from the rest of the series so far. Like, yep, Dama really fucked up and nobody called him out on it until, like, 50 hours in.
You're going to want to change that when we get to Black Market. You're going to be like, I need a new definition of what. But yeah.
Both Brown. But decision-wise, he wasn't thinking logically.
Yeah, but like, I would hope somebody would have called him out and like said, like, yeah, Ty kind of did.
Yeah,
but
Ty did. Rosalind did as well.
I think he's earned a little bit of leeway with the crew, but he's in the wrong and they know it, but
he is in the wrong, but when you think about how important Starbuck actually is to the fleet, she's literally the most qualified pilot they have.
Is the
way more important than Gaius.
Oh yeah, and I don't know, the ship might, the fleet, I mean okay.
Can you imagine how many ships they would lose if Lee was the flight instructor? I mean, he's not a very good pilot.
Yeah,
I mean, he is the CAG.
He's the CAG.
Yeah, but he sucks at fun.
Yeah. His insurance is sky high.
And part of the reason, the thing about this is that none of these characters are always good or even makes logical choices, and something that I sort
except for Doc Cottle.
Come to except for Doc Cottle.
I think Hilo is probably good, right? But other than those,
yeah, but Anahito is probably the most boring characters in the entire series. So, and I actually kind of like it when characters you're going to say fuck up or do stuff that's not completely logical, but it makes for fun drama.
Yeah, a lot of shows like pay lip service to that their characters are flawed or
right,
but this show actually has characters that are flawed.
Sometimes these characters do stuff that you really hate.
Yeah.
But that's just human. They're not always rational.
Like, no, I was disappointed in Adama. I still love him, which also means I'm really afraid of what Rosalind does to fuck up so much, considering for Thomas'
Adama's gonna do. Adama's gonna do stuff that's more fucked up than this, in my opinion. But
they all do.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's what makes it interesting.
They basically try to one up each other with how fucked up things get. It's like, I'll see you that, and I'll raise you this. So
Hilo does some really messed up shit later on too. So
yeah. Oh yeah,
it's not.
Well, I mean, yeah, it's.
What is it? I'll have to try and remember. I can't remember Hilo doing anything fucked up.
Oh, we'll see. I mean, it's quite, you could agree with him on whether what he did was right or not.
I probably did then, yeah.
I probably will too.
We'll see.
Yeah,
the Hilo stuff is really boring, so I don't think we need to talk about it.
Yeah, it's just, literally, those...
The toaster's the best part.
The toaster, except for the toasters. That was funny.
Back when the show was airing, they had a limited edition, they had a toaster, and it would actually, like... It was, it was like very like kitschy 50s looking, and it would put a pattern of a Cylon face into a you're toast. It was awesome. And by the time I was like hemming and hawing whether or not I wanted it or not, and then they were sold out by the time But
the one thing I would say about that part is I was like so mad at first that the Cylons didn't kill Hilo, and then I was like, oh wait, the Cylons have been fucking with him this entire time. They could have killed him any time.
Yep.
There's no difference.
It's cat and mouse. Yeah, they're just playing with him.
What? Yeah.
I think it's a little worse than cat and mouse. It's like
yes,
like fishbowl.
breeding.
Who wants to cover Litmus?
I can do it again if you want to. Bunch of civilians board a Galactica. One of them is Aaron Doro. Elsewhere, Taro is fucking Boomer, while his underlings protect him and look out for him. Ty recognizes Doro, and then Doro puts himself as a suicide bomber and blows up a hallway with a bunch of people in it. And because this was such a big deal, everybody now is in on the act about human, about Cylons, begins suspecting about Cylons possibly being human. So the Master of Arms, who we've talked about up to now, but never shows up, she finally comes up and asks for a public inquiry, and Adama grants him an independent tribunal. The Master of Arms, Hadrian, goes around interviewing the hangar deck people, including Kelly and the guy, Susinus, and as well as some other dude that we haven't met before now. And Jammer. All three of them gave different locations for where the chief is during that time when the suicide bombing went off. Meanwhile, Roslyn hosts a press conference letting the cat out of the bag about humanoid Cylons and releasing the pictures of Aaron Doro and Leo Benconoy. During the trials happening, Boomer Ventiro is brought before for questioning. Boomer is specifically asked about his relationship, her relationship with the chief, which she claims have been stopped after Ty ordered him to stop. And then Hadrian then asks the chief about the time of the bombing, and pointing out that his answer is contrary to what everyone else under him is saying. And then the chief invokes, what is it, Article 23 or whatever? Basically the pleas of if. Sinus is then ordered on the stand, and then he fucks up during the questioning, starts lying, and then gets called out for it. And finally, suddenly he admits that he's the one who let the hatch open that allowed the Cylons access to the explosives, and then basically just taking the blame for the chief. So Hadrian still wants to charge Tyrell, but Susinus doesn't budge. Meanwhile, Gaius Baltar visits Kara. Stuff happens. He gives her a cigar. While Kara scares Baltar about the human and Cylon thing, and he runs away. Six points out that Cylons were probably going after Baltar about the detector thing. Then Hadrian calls Adama to the stand, and then tries to build this large conspiracy and wants to charge Adama. And finally, Adama thinks this is going out of hand, and basically orders Hadrian to be confined to her quarters and disbands the inquiry. And then finally, Susinus is the one that gets charged for all of this. The chief gets angry about this and confronts Adama, but Adama points out that he's the one who fucked up. So Tyrell goes and ends his relationship with Boomer. Meanwhile, on Caprica, stuff happened. The Sharon reveals the plan that they were playing around with Hilo, and then gets beat up to present a, I don't know, it was stupid.
Yeah, she has her little Fight Club moment.
Yeah.
It's pretty hot.
Wow.
That's...
Yikes.
Okay. Well, what? Yeah. I know what you like.
Love doesn't have to hurt, guys.
This stuff doesn't get interesting until later.
One of the things that I noticed is that Hadrian does seem to have, she has Chief in her sights from the beginning before there's even evidence pointed to him. And so it seems like there's some real rivalry between those two, because they keep pulling rank on each other. And then in the inquiry, you know, Chief makes a point to lay a ton of the blame on Hadrian, because she was in charge of, she ultimately was responsible for a lot of things, so that, you know, it does cast quite a bit of doubt on her as far as motives in going after people, but...
Yeah, but that's not fair to her, because they didn't give her the information that Cylons could look like humans, so I think it's unfair to expect her to have had a better security. I mean, like, that's not really... But she would have different security in place as far as, like, codes for weapons lockers and stuff, if she knew that Cylons had infiltrated the ship.
We will not speculate on what might have happened.
She's taking that out on... she's, like, pissed off at Adama there, and she wants to...
Yeah, right. She felt that she could have done her job better if she was better informed.
Well, so she's playing politics with it there, too. But I think it's unfair, especially because Chief knows more about the water thing than he's going to, you know, say. So I think he's way out of line.
Yeah.
Well, the biggest thing is she's right about the Chief and, like, his involvement. Yeah. That's the bottom line. Like, before she gives Salem Witch Trials Witch Hunt on it, she's actually right and has a solid line of reasoning.
Right.
How much time does this episode take? Because that's the thing that always bugged me about it. It seems like everything here happens really, really quickly.
Right.
I'd imagine it's probably over the course of a week or two. Like, because she's got to go through and interview these people all over the deck, and then she's got to formulate her theory. She's not just like, one to the next. Like,
and also she's like an attorney for some reason, right?
it's like a wartime tribunal. They're basically.
Well, she's just been waiting for this. She's like, oh, can I do independent tribunal? I've been waiting for this. This is my whole career. I've been wanting to do this. Like, please.
It's weird because Hadrian seems like set up to be such an important character, or significant character, and then this is the only episode she ever appears in, right?
She's in another one, but in her.
Oh,
last
she
one.
Is.
Yeah.
Really?
I believe so. This is the only one where she really gets a big role. I like how they wrote this episode, where it just shows where they basically. You have your premise of you've got the military versus the civilian government, and you've got Adama, who is the head of the military forces, but he's the son of a civil rights lawyer, so he has he has ideals on his side where you would think that he would be painted one way, but it's the opposite, and I think Ina makes a point about what she loves about BSG. Adama disbands a tribunal sans authority in order to uphold his romantic vision of the law. You can plausibly argue both sides. Great philosophical TV, which I agree with. He does something completely out of his realm of power, but it's for all the right reasons, and ultimately because he's the man at the top, he gets his word is law. But
I would argue that it is in his realm of power, considering his force is the ones enforcing this. Like, he didn't give complete autonomous authority, like, yes, to investigate, but essentially, not only is he the head of the military group, he's also equivalently second in command to the civilian government, so there's no overhead, and there's no way to police, because worst case scenario, Rosalind just, like, pardons him. Or like,
well, plus he was just pissed at the Marines because they didn't knock.
But I really loved, like halfway through that trial, you've got to be shitting me face that he has.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think he's too hasty in setting this thing up and too hasty. And
right.
I think it's bad decisions on his part on both ends. And I think that there needs to be like a reasoned system of justice here.
Well, and this is all fallout from having the public's assistance though. So yeah, I mean, ultimately, this is what would have been expected if once you have public involvement for IDing Cylons, they'd expect a tribunal and for a name to be brought up, and so.
Well, I think an investigation is necessary. I don't think it's just a show trial. I think there's real blames, and the Chief is at the top of the list.
I don't think the Chief ever thinks about that guy being in the cells because he couldn't keep his dick in his pants. I think he just completely forgets about him like we all do.
He shows up again, doesn't he?
Yeah, I would have to imagine he doesn't have to serve forever, right?
No, it's not forever.
But I don't know.
No.
I mean, they need qualified people, considering they negotiate with terrorists, so I'm sure somebody that made a little baby lie, he's not really in trouble, is perfectly fine to get a second chance.
They basically put him on you know, like the least appealing work possible. Like anytime a Viper pilot gets shot down or whatever, like he gets to clean out the cockpit or something.
I'm sure every ship needs mechanics, so they can probably banish him somewhere bad or something.
Yeah, he could go onto the Demetrius onto the sewage scout ship.
I guess going to Bina's point that you can argue both sides, like, how far up can you argue Hadrian's side against Adama? Like, personally, I don't think you can argue it that high, but you can argue that she might have need to know, but there's also the basis of need to know basis and keeping secrets for just the welfare and then also the chain of command, because it's still a military organization. Where is a sergeant have the authority to question the commander of a ship about his decisions in a military matter?
I think she needed to know. I think she needed to know that Cylons could look like people to do her job correctly.
Oh, well, I actually agree to that point. I'm just saying, where is it that she has the ability to it's not her place to question that.
I think that's personal. Right. I think that's out of line. But I see why she does. It makes sense why she's doing it, but I think she feels like he screwed her over.
Well, the thing is that, at the time, with hindsight being 2020, knowing that information would have helped her. However, she's not taking into consideration the fact that, maybe having lower level people know it might lead to, people being accused and set up of different things. She has no idea how psyche of people is going to react to things. I mean, aside from the couple of Marines that were stitching up Adama after he killed Leoben, no one else knows, right? Other than the upper cabinet?
I mean, also to be fair, she got screwed over. But she isn't being held accountable for it, so why does it matter? You feel like Adama's put in just as much of a bad position as she is. Like, it reflects just as poorly as him as it does her.
Right, it's not like she gets, that she has a bright and shining career where she can go places other than Galactica, so it's not like, I don't know.
I think there's definitely some merit to the discussion about that she has issues with Chief. Because I think Chief and his crew are sort of like the darlings of the Galactica just because of how important they are. Because they get away with some really crazy shit.
No, Chief is utterly incompetent and shouldn't be in charge.
The deck crew is as close as they have as to civilians on deck, too. Because, they're not officers. They're non-commissioned officers. They're all kind of, they're like the reservists of the group if they're,
And they do get babied by Adama and then the rest of the ship.
Everything cycles back to the point that there's only 48,000 of them. So, if there was 50 billion, sure. Into the brig they go. But guess what? We're not in that case. This is what we have. This is the cards we're dealt.
There's no Craigslist to be like, help wanted.
Yeah, but that's why the Chief has to be better than he is, right?
Right.
Yes,
yeah.
Right. He can't, when Ty tells him to his face, directly tells him. He can't, deny that and then go against that order.
Yeah. I mean, that's almost...
Ty's playing the bad cop, and that's the way it's got to go. He's got to listen.
It's almost as bad as Sharon being offended that, anything that inconveniences her could possibly be somebody else's fault, and she shouldn't see how it. Yes, she's a Cylon and whatever, but they've made it out to this point that she's essentially has human emotions, and just how self-centered can you be in an utterly terrible person?
I like how Boomer uses girl fight logic to that's the only answer you're ever gonna get, and when.
I feel like we're about to go down a slippery slope right here.
I know. It's just I've gotten
gay.
Yeah, I'm like.
Yeah. Anyways.
Yes,
I think the answer works in the story. Yeah. I mean, that's. Yeah. I think that works for the story.
So Bina gives it a 5 out of 5, and I give it a 4.5 out of 5.
I'd say 4 out of 5. My only quibble with it. It was a, it does go a little faster.
Yeah, I can't. I think there's like more than one episode worth of material here. I really feel like this is rushed and not structured well. I mean, the issues it raises are very interesting. I just technically, I don't think it's a great episode. So I would give it something like a 3. I feel like there's, like I said, there's more than one episode's worth of material here.
Yeah, there's a couple points in the series where they could have stopped and stretched their legs a little bit more and delved into things more than they did. And yeah, this is definitely one of those beats.
I want to give it a 5, but because Thomas's points are valid.
You can give it a 5.
No, I guess a 4.5. Like, because everything you say makes sense and looking back on it, like, yeah. But like, by far, it's been my favorite episode so far.
Oh, cool.
More than 33?
Awesome. I don't remember which that one. Well, which one's 33 again?
First one.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. I don't know. I just thought 33 was such a clear-cut decision. This one's a little...
It's a different...
This one's a little bit more issue, interesting issue where you can see both sides and play with it.
It's a different kind of good. Like, I mean, 33 is more like an action thriller, whereas this is like where you get into intrigue and... Yeah, nuance.
Oh, we forgot to talk about Caprica.
Yeah, I said everything I did. I thought it was kind of hot when 6 is beating her up, but that's just me.
I mean, it's all set up on Caprica right now.
Yeah.
It's not much really you need to say about it until we get to where they're setting up.
By the way, that's not fisting.
What?
Alright, we got the low point for the episode.
See, I told you I would bring it back down.
On that note.
6 seems to enjoy really just beating the fuck out of Sarah in there, too. Like, I don't know. It's weird, because we don't really get any sense of individuality with the Cylons yet.
Yet.
So.
I disagree, I guess.
I think Boomer, at least.
Yeah, I think Sharon is almost complete. The two Boomers are very different people.
Well, yeah, they end up this. Yeah, I mean, you have, because they're two sides of the same coin. One of them you have where she knows that she's a double agent and she has to, you know, win over Hilo, and the other one doesn't know that she is a Cylon and she's in love with Chief. So.
I don't know. I don't know if I agree with that, but you're more knowledgeable than I. But I think the Battlestar, the Galactica Hilo is a much worse person. I think they're fundamentally, one's a good person, one's a bad person.
Is that what you mean, or
Sharon?
Okay. Yeah.
Did I say Boomer? I don't know what I said.
You said Hilo.
That's not a spoiler. That was just a mistake.
I have to say, though, I really like that scene where, like, Gaius was making out with 6, and it just pans back, and you see the guard, like, just looking at him, like, what the hell?
Oh, yeah, but he's got his finger up while she's, like, sucking his finger. Like, I was like, yeah, you're number one. Like, yeah, there's some of the beats that they get caught in together that just, they crack me up, like, I was having audio trouble last time too, but the one of the beats I made was when Gaius and 6 are on Colonial One, and he's, you know, basically making out with her there, like, like, how awkward would it be to be next to this guy on a commercial flight? Like, you've got this guy, and he's always got a boner, and he's just like staring off into space, and just that he must seem absolutely crazy, because he does a good job of having a cogent conversation with both sets. But if you look at it and you just take 6 out of the picture, he looks like a complete nut job. Like,
yeah, I think because he's a genius, I think people kind of just assume that he's kind of different, right?
Right. It's hard for people to think that what is actually going on.
Yeah.
It's so out there.
Yeah.
It's a really scary place.
Yeah, six does get scary too. Like, I mean, like, yeah.
Do y'all want to do any like spoiler things, or are y'all good?
There's just like one point I want to make, but very
good. I can leave.
Absolutely. It's up to you.
We'll actually get to use the airlock thing and actually have something behind the bumper this time, so I guess you're getting airlocked.
It's just, all right.
Yeah. Thanks, cool. Jeff.
Yeah, thank you.
We'll see you next time.
Nice to meet you too. Nice. Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Don't hit your head on the way out.
All right. Oh, the only point I was going to make was, I think Hadrian is kind of the sort of like the, I don't know, the prototype of Helena Kane, almost, right?
A little bit, right?
Someone who challenges Adama, and their mannerisms are very similar.
Well, yeah, I mean, but
their status is much different.
Yeah,
Kane is full on tactics and just, you know, at win by any means necessary. Hadrian, she's
underdeveloped, so we don't really know
what her
whole deal is. I feel like the way like they talk to the way she talks to people, the way she sort of manhandles Adama until like Adama says "fuck you."
Yeah.
It's a little bit similarity, I think.
Well, she's clearly not one of Adama's people, you know, right? She's like, he's got his crew that he kind of coddles, no pun intended, but and she's clearly on the outs, and like I said, I think she's righteous in her anger towards him, but how she goes about it is destructive.
Right.
She's probably lodged a couple complaints and then had them not be heard.
Yeah.
Because, you know, there's a bit of cronyism on the deck. And,
just a bit.
He's like, yeah, I'll get to that right after I'm done retiring. So shut up. Yeah. So she's probably had a frustrating career so far, and so I can kind of get that. But I think in the next couple episodes, like, she ends up having to do some kind of repair, and she gets like, there's like I think she gets air blasted out into space.
Oh, she does?
I think so. Yeah, she has a rather unceremonious end.
Chief
just
Tyrell
where she
was turning the valve, I'm sure.
Tyrell.
Oops.
Yeah. Oops.
Yeah. Okay, so if that's what happens to her, that makes sense.
Like I said, I've only seen these episodes one time, so it's been super fun for me to kind of revisit these with the knowledge of where things are going.
Right. Now this is, I must have watched this twice, but so this must be my third time, but this is fun.
For me, it's been a couple years since I did I think it's been 2 years since I did my last rewatch of it, but every night before I go to bed, I would have either like an episode of Voyager or whatever. I'd have something in my rotation, and I would watch through something. And this was always part of my thing. So this is probably like my fifth watch, but there's still new shit that I can, like, because I was never on, you know, part of the online community when it was on or anything like that. So I never really got to talk a lot about it, except for with my ex. But and so, you know, like that's, you know, so I can still like miss stuff. Like, I didn't realize that the note about the, you know, there are 13 models that Adama got, that was from Gaius. I never put that together.
12 models at this point.
Yeah. Yeah.
13 is a much later retcon,
right.
I think.
Yeah, when we get to the later seasons, maybe I won't be having as much fun, but right now.
I mean, I think I still had fun during season 4, and some episodes during season 4. Like, I know some people in the comments in the forums were saying, people were complaining that we were dissing the ending. Like, I think that they're still fun. It just become less and less logical. The plot just become less and less logical. That's it.
Like, with Star Trek, I just felt like so unfulfilled.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, like, I don't know.
I guess for me, I was disappointed that, Six and Gaius aren't, like, the central. For me, I always thought that they were, like, the central characters, and it was going to be their story at the end.
And instead, you got Lee chasing pigeons for an episode.
Yeah, like, what the fuck? I mean, yeah, like, okay, yeah, you made out with your soon-to-be-dead brother's fiance. Good job. Yeah, you get that pigeon out of the house, though. That's the biggest of your problems. Like,
I mean, there are certain episodes during season 4 that are outstanding, especially the blood on the scales.
Yeah, those. I mean,
that episode those was
that was gripping television.
Yeah.
But yeah, to me that's what I don't like Gaeta. Like, I don't like where he went with it. I understand his frustration and everything, but I can't justify.
I think he made the wrong choices, but I completely supported his motive at that point.
Yeah, I wanted to say the episode that he's like the Jaime Lannister because he loses a limb.
But he went the opposite way, I guess.
Yeah, but well, at least his leg felt better before he died.
Poor Gaeta. I think he was morally, I think he was on the right. He just teamed up with the wrong people. Like, don't go to Tom Zarek if you want to.
Right, have moral authority
and the assholes from I don't know, the assholes from Pegasus that he ended up teaming up with.
I felt horrible for Gaeta for what happened on the Demetrius. That whole fucking shit show happened.
Bad.
Like, I mean, I understand him going all having some anger issues after that. Like, because, I mean, stupid fucking Sam. He's just, ugh.
A lot of characters stop doing things that make sense.
He never did make sense, though.
Sam Anderson, yeah.
Yeah, no,
he's another one of those, like, oh, you're only supposed to appear in two episodes, but we really like you.
You're very white. He's just he's Kara's dildo when she goes back to Caprica. That's what he is. Like.
I think there's some interesting stuff with him, but he's not my favorite character, obviously.
I think they stopped knowing what to do with him after.
Yeah, I feel like it's that way with a few strands of the story. They just.
Well,
don't
he got
have
the same treatment. Yeah.
And then he's a Cylon, and then he flew into the sun.
Right. Yeah. Oh, that would be awful. You're just in a hot tub, and it gets hotter and hotter and hotter and hotter. It's because it's not like he dies, like, quickly. It's just, like, he's going to boil to death in that bathtub.
Yeah, well.
But,
anyways.
Yeah, fuck him. Any other spoilery points?
No, I'm good.
Yeah.
Okay. Good. All
right. Thanks for hosting.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
Oh, thank you.
It was really fun.
Yep.
Oh, it was great having you on, and yeah, I'll talk to you guys later.
Yep. Bye.
All right.
Bye, guys.
All right, bye.